It's 9:05 at Q92 Radio. Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Modeling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Macaparo Valley Coaches Show. Dick Newman bringing you the report this morning. Paul Ramo at his usual position at the control panel. Going through some scores from last night. Of course, the game you heard live here on Q92, Cammie spoiled our homecoming, Macaparo's homecoming, with a score of 13-0. Pretty good defensive battle throughout the whole game. Bold surprised Dawson Boyd and ruined their homecoming, 50-19. Paul Ramo did looked up some stats on that. Bold had over 600 yards total offense, with over 500 of them rushing. Mineota all over McRae. McRae scored first, 6-0 in the first quarter. Must have been a kickoff return or something.
Wow!
And but they lost 69-12. And Lakeview and YME had a close game. Lakeview came out on top, 26-20. Some other area scores. Montevideo still winless. They lost the game to Sauk Center, 34-21. Browerville, Eagle Valley, 21, Benson 6. Windham area, 28, RTR 27. That was a good game. Out of Tail Central, all over Ortonville, 46. Adrian Ellsworth defeated Tracy Milroy Ballaton 33-14. Minnewaska in a squeaker over Rockford 21-19. New London Spicer all over Watertown Mare 34-7. Morris area Chicago Alberta rolling along as they defeated Detroit Lakes 28-10. And KMS all over Long Prairie Gray Eagle 56-7. Well, that brings us up to our game. You mentioned last night on the post-game show a very much of a defensive battle by both teams.
Yeah, very much a defensive battle. I need to apologize for my voice for week number two here. We could use some rain. I'm afraid, though, if we got some rain, and it would help my allergies, but I don't know if the spigot would turn off. It's been so long since we got rain.
Right.
But, yeah, you know, defensively, both teams, I thought, played very, very well. You know, they were able to get out and score in the second quarter there, I believe. And that was the score at halftime. And I felt, you know, that first series for them, we got a nice punt return out of Tigan Allpress. And going back and watching the film this morning, he cut it. He kind of reversed field. And he cut it back inside, and obviously that's a split-second decision. But I think he was faster than the two guys that were kind of had the angle on him. But, you know, it's one of those things where, hey, if we get ourselves a punt return there, that maybe turns the tide. But unfortunately that didn't happen, and we ended up turning the ball over on downs, I believe, that series. And so it was a defensive battle back and forth. I was encouraged by the way we had played defense, you know, last week against Bold. You know, they have a tendency to run the ball, as we found out in their stats from last night. And I really felt we matched Bold's intensity as far as hit for hit, and they're just obviously bigger and wore us down. Last night, I think, like I said, watching the film back, it just turned into... they started to control the line of scrimmage a little bit more than we did. And, you know, we actually rushed for more yards than they did, but they threw for more yards. They had a clean pocket to throw from quite a few times, too. And they still only threw for 150 yards, but their ability to have the pocket, maybe look for a receiver or two, and that didn't fare so well for us, you know. We ended up with some injuries last night. Obviously, Gabe Lowry going out, and I think that was on the kids' minds, and we talked to him at halftime about kind of the status of Gabe at the time, and there was a lot of relief there. And I'm sure they're listening this morning, but he was home last night. Everything seems to be A-okay. They're going to check him for a possible concussion on Monday, but he's doing well, so that's good to hear. So we were down him, and then we lost our left tackle, Carson Crappy. Lost him at halftime. We lost Noah Meyer with a sore back at halftime, and then went out in the first quarter. So we subbed in Kaysen Heineke, a sophomore, Elias Alonzo, who's a junior, Douglas Bruner, who's a junior. So we subbed in some of those guys to get some reps for really their first time action when the lights are bright there. And, you know, that's a learning experience for them. And so that line of scrimmage started to kind of tilt a little bit. I don't know, maybe we had a couple of sacks, but they probably had 8 or 9 total. And they did a nice job, too, as far as in the passing game, dropping 7, rushing 4, and getting some pressure. And then that just alleviates passing lanes. And when you get behind the sticks and you're second and long or third and 8, you know, then that becomes a little tougher. So we got to figure out ways to help get ourselves in shorter downs there. Yeah, defensively, well played, you know. And then also with our special teams, 2 block punts, one by Noah Meyer, and the other one was by Brock Bjornhild. Noah's first one, actually. Gavin Meyer. He was lined out wide on the left side. I like, there's no way he's going to get there. And I said that in the headphones, and he gets it and blocks it. And I said, well, I guess I'm a liar. And I mean, he did a beautiful job of blocking it. And, you know, Brock's, he just raised up his big mitt and blocked it. So, you know, you get 2 block punts in a game. You got good field position. Unfortunately, we were just able to cash in, you know. Caden's, that fourth down incompletion, his toes were right there on the sideline. Incomplete pass. While they are on their fourth down, that long throw, their guy, their toes, his toes were just in the sideline. So you talk a matter of inches. And it's obviously homecoming, and everyone wants to have a successful homecoming and be able to go to the after game events at the school and be able to celebrate some of that stuff. And so I feel like I feel disappointed that they weren't able to have some of those stories and able to share some of that stuff and have some fun afterwards. But, you know, as I told them after the game, life lessons here, you know, you're going to go home afterwards tonight, probably not going to feel real good about it. And then, but the sun's going to come up today and the sun's going to come up on Sunday, and you keep plugging along. And that's all that anybody can ask from anybody that they're associated with. So, yeah, we'll get back to the drawing board.
Some of the stats then?
Yeah, stat-wise. Davis Patzer was 6 of 25 for 47 yards. He was just under pressure. We had a couple of opportunities for some throws early in the game, and we did not connect. And then that just kind of, I felt like we put a little bit more pressure on ourselves. Receiving, Dylan Keimig, 3 for 24. Landon Weber, 1 for 9. Caden Kessler, 1 for 6. Brock Bjornhild, 1 for 4. And Gavin Mortensen, 1 for 3. Running the ball, Landon Weber, 16 attempts for 60 yards. Jay Staline, who got himself some playing time there as the linebacker and then also as a running back, 1 carry for 5 yards. Keimig, 1 for 4. Tygan Allpress, 1 carry for 2 yards. Defensively, you know, I had mentioned about those offensive line guys getting in and getting their first action. Lean played some linebacker there in the second half quite a bit, filling in for Gabe. And then also Gavin Meyer played quite a bit defensively, and I thought he did a very nice job, too. In interception, he read out that reverse that they tried to run against us, so he had a nice night. Landon Weber, 6 tackles. and then four assists. Jace DeLean, three tackles, three assists. Kaimik, three tackles. Noah Meyer, three tackles and a tackle for loss. Drew Borsted, three tackles. Tiger Alpress, two tackles, two assists. Gavin Meyer, two tackles and an interception. Brock Bierenhill with a tackle and an assist. Jesse Wynn with a tackle. Douglas Bruner with a tackle. Gabe Lowry with two assists. Gavin Mortensen with a tackle. Blake Wells with a tackle. And Nolan Smith with an assist. So, you know, that kind of wraps up our stats for the night. We'll get it back together, see where we are injury-wise. You know, I got an update after the game on some of the guys that were out. We'll just have to kind of see the weekend and some stretching and some ice, and maybe we can get ourselves back to full strength. And if that's not the case, you know what, then it's an opportunity for more kids to get that experience and to get out and play and, you know, enjoy the successes and learn from the mistakes.
Well, it's different levels. The 7th grade and 8th grade, when they get a year older, then the level of intensity goes up, and the JV, and they're having a good year, but they get into varsity action, that's a big level up, too, but they seem to be answering the call pretty well.
Yeah, you know, it's just like you said, it's another step up, it's another speed, it's another level of aggressiveness, and all of that is a learning process, and you get that chin strap on tight, get that mouth guard in, and be ready. Yeah. Have that head on a swivel.
How did other teams do this past week?
JV went over to Olivia on Monday, and no, I'm sorry, they played at Lacaparle on Monday, and I believe the final score was 28-0. It was 8-0, I believe, at halftime.
In whose favor?
It was ours. It was ours. Lacaparle had won 28-0. I believe it was 8-0 at halftime. And they really had struggled defensively. We didn't give them much to offensively to speak of, and they loved to run the ball. We did a nice job with that. Then we were able to score a couple of touchdowns in the second half. Junior high-wise, they went to Olivia on Tuesday. The 8th grade won 20-6. Excuse me, the 7th grade won 20-6. And the 8th grade lost 14-6.
Okay.
So some more good football for those underclassmen. The upcoming week here, obviously, we go to McRae on Friday. But on Monday, the JV goes down to Canby for a 4 o'clock start. They have their coronation for homecoming this week, so they wanted to get started a little earlier. So we're going to be down there at 4 o'clock. And then on Tuesday, the 7th and 8th grade is going to be playing one game on Tuesday because of the numbers down in Canby. They will be coming up here and playing us on Tuesday at 4:30.
I think the 7th grade first half and the 8th grade second half.
Correct.
Yeah. And for both the varsity and the JV, they're playing on new fields this up and coming week.
Yeah, it's amazing the number of turf fields that are rolling up around here. I think, what's that, now three in our conference? And that's always the debate. Would you rather have the field turf or the natural grass? And I look at it, hey, if you have the field turf, you can use it a lot more for FIAD. You can use it for the spring, for softball and baseball. It's nice and clean, but there's just something that's really special about the grass, and it's well taken care of, and the paint and the mud and the dirt as it's flying, and yep, the grass stains and all that stuff that goes along with it. So are you a new age or are you old school, I think, is where it kind of turns into.
Yep. So anything else, Tony?
No. Good week of homecoming. You know, a lot of fun, a lot of great things that happened yesterday. Unfortunately, we didn't be able to finish it off. But, hey, we'll get back to work on Monday.
All right. That's Tony Smith on football. We'll take this break. Everything else is going to be done via the tape recorder because cross country, we'll do that next with John Scher, but they're up in Grand Forks, North Dakota. They'll be running here pretty soon. This is the third year to go up there for that. They've always gone to Malacca before that, but now they're up in Grand Forks. They like that just as well. And tennis, girls tennis, has a conference today all day long in Alexandria. And then C-Squad volleyball is going on as we speak in Dawson or in Mineota. And Paul talked to the volleyball coach of Brooklyn that'll be played later on. So we'll take this break. Be talking with John Cherb on Cross Country after this.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Taking a look at some things going on around the area this weekend. A Help for Hope benefit will be held from 4 to 8 this evening in the Chuck Brown Building at the Fairgrounds in Appleton. This is a free will donation, hot turkey sandwich, and all the fixings and trimmings event. Live auction begins at 6:30. Silent auction closes at 7:30. Visit the Help for Hope benefit Facebook page to see the auction items and more information. Hope's the daughter of Mike and Lori Munsterman and the late Jody Gies Munsterman. She was diagnosed with lung disease as an infant and on September 8th received a transplant. She's recovering and doing well. Money raised will help defray medical expenses. Annual Zora Lutheran Mission Sale will be held at the church west of Marietta near Salt Lake today. There will be a bake sale at 7 p.m. with lefse rolls and bars and other goodies. The auction starts at 7:30. On the sale, large and small hand-stitched quilts, pillowcases, dish towels, and more. Silent auction will be going on, and Sunday school students will have candy for sale. Evening will end with ice cream, pie, and coffee. Everyone's welcome. Cancer Transportation Fund benefit will be held at the Appleton VFW Sunday from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Omelets, hash browns, toast, and beverage will be served. Takeouts available. Everyone's welcome. Sunday, the fall dinner takeout meal at St. John's Lutheran Church in Madison going on from 11 a.m. to 12:30. On the menu, stuffed pork chop, baked potato, and all the trimmings, $15. Deliveries in Madison City limits are available by calling on Sunday, 320-598-7550. Guests are welcome to eat their takeout meal in the social hall at St. John's, but there will be no wait staff service provided. Sunday, September 29th, turkey dinner at the Ravillo Community Center, 11 to 1, sponsored by St. John's Ravillo and Bethlehem Millbank Churches. On the menu, turkey, smoked or roasted, real mashed potatoes, and all kinds of other goodies. It's a free will donation event, supplemental funds from Thrivent Financial. Sunday, dance at the Prairie Ballroom in Rosen, 1 to 4. Come out and enjoy the music of Julie Lee and the White Rose Band. On this Saturday, September 28th, we say happy birthday to Sandy Smogard, Dennis Lund, Joel Chernus, Madeline and Allison Jensen, Josh Liebel, Brian Hersham over in Dawson, Autumn Wilson, Rebecca Weber. Happy anniversary today to Terry and Becky Overlander over in Dawson. And then on Sunday, happy birthday to Bernie Josephson, Josie and Jenny Tilbury, Tom Zupan, Keith Abraham, Ashley Peters, Dick Larson, Chad Felton, Josh Redepenning, Jeremy Runyon, and happy anniversary Sunday to Dawn and Jeff Peterson, Jenna and Travis Ludvigson, and Lee and Deb Olstead. Hope you all have a great day and a great weekend.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to turn our attention to Dawson Boyd, Lacapaul Valley Cross Country with head coach John Sherb. And John's up. Where are you today, John?
Not
okay. That's a little different cross country meet than what you've been there a couple years, I guess, huh?
Yep, this will be the third year of doing it. We've just, again, it's a good experience seeing a lot of teams, you know, that we don't know all of that are very good. And you know, northern part of North Dakota, some South Dakota. I mean, you get a good range of kids. There's a lot of young talent, a lot of good talent around, so it's fun to see some new people, new course, and just to kind of get away as a kind of a team thing also.
Okay. Well, we'll talk more about that in a little bit, but how did the cross-country teams do this week?
We had one meet. We ran on Thursday at Granite. We did not run everybody. We had some kids. We had a bunch of kids sick right now. We're hoping they'll be recovered, ready to go enough to race on Saturday. Then we had some couple kids who were nicked up. We're just holding them back. I think, you know, they had a choice either run Thursday or Saturday. They wanted to run Saturday instead, so we held them to kind of save their legs a little bit, just to kind of work them back in the rehabbing part. So it was kind of a different numbers with our kids in spots, and I thought our kids did some really nice things in the levels that they weren't accustomed to doing or being accounted for, because some kids now were counting for scores and things like that. So it was a good experience, and the weather, again, God, we just keep running in hot weather. It's hot all the time. The good thing is at least we got some wind, but it was another warm one again on Thursday. Our top junior high kid, they ran about 2,200 meters, and that was Talia Hersom. She ended up finishing sixth with a time of 10:14.19. Cambry Larson was 17th, and she was at 11:12. And then also we had Macy Clavin, and she was 25th, and she was at 12:40. And then Claire, I think it's Faggi, if I can say it correctly, she was 28th. And this is the first race for her at 13:29. So, again, new ones, old ones, kind of different mix and everything else, and handling it, and a shorter course, having to get out a little harder than normal. So, again, it was a good change of style for it. And I thought, again, they're growing nicely as the season's gone on. In our junior high boys, we kind of changed a little bit in our junior high boys. We moved Matthew Bothan up to the varsity race just to see how he can handle that distance. So, wanted to see what, you know, give Colin the chance to run without having to follow Matthew. And Colin got his first ever cross-country win. He ended up winning the race, same distance as the other junior high girls ran. He ran it in 8:29. Looked very comfortable for starting. He was back early and then caught up to the kids and just slowly took control of the race and just kind of spread it out and continued on. So a good time for him to go and get his first win in there. The 17th place was Katara Serrano. He ended up finishing 17th. He was at 9:35. Then Max Bothan was in 24th, and he was at 10:05. And then we have Uriah Speck. He was in 20. He was at 10:17. Then we had Eddie Felton. He was in 33rd, and he finished with a time of 10:35. Then we have Colton Schoenfeld. He was in 41st. And he was 11:18. And then Aaron Will was in 46th and time of 11:53. And Harrison Solly was in 49th at 13:17. They did score it, which is, you know, we had enough to score, so we ended up finishing fourth for junior high. So it's a nice run there. And good. Again, there's a lot of potential here. We just got to harness it. That's our biggest problem, is harnessing all the energy we have and putting into this. If we can do that, these guys are going to be pretty good as they grow up and mature with it.
Good.
And then the varsity girls race, they ran everybody together, and that was, you know, whoever was going to 9 to 12 ran everybody. So we were kind of, we didn't run a number one gal, we didn't run a number 4, 5, or 6, or 7. So we're kind of thin in it, but it was a great opportunity for other ones to step in and see what they can handle that spot, and very, very pleased with how they handled themselves. And looking at Bryn Glegge, continues to improve. She ran probably one of her most solid races as she could, and she ran with the upper levels and was big, because she beat two girls she hasn't beat all year, so that shows she's improving, coming along really nicely. So like I said, to finish in the fourth place with a time of 21:38. Then our next one was Harper Grunholt. She was in 18th, and she was at 24:54. Laura Sharara, she was in 25th at 25:40. So again, that's her first time really helping the varsity out, and you know, just she hasn't been able to get full practice then. So she actually was with Harper a lot of the race early, and she was shelled when she finished up, but it was nice to see her put herself in a spot she's not usually in. Shea Bothan was 29th. She was 26:38. Daytona Bissett was 31st, and she was in 2644. Again, another spot. She was pressed with the issue of having to be a score to hang on for some team points there. Again, she fought through some tough spots in the race, which was good to see her to work herself through. And then 33rd was Alyssa Sawinski. She finished with 27.08. And then Ella Stott, she was in 51st at 33.29. Scoring-wise, we ended up finishing third. Gabby Mineota won it. Again, this is another level for everybody. CMCS was second with 66. We were third at 70. And then Monty was at 83. So, you know, like the way the kids handle it, again, understanding where they need to be and how it works. So that was good to see. Boys' race, we did not run our number two man. Clark went home sick, and we were actually going to save him. His legs are finally come back now after the mass race, so we got him back. But he was going to work out anyways, but he went home sick, so we could have him. So we were short a little bit there, but we wanted to see what everybody else can do. And Gavin Carl looked very comfortable. I think it's his first ever varsity victory for cross country.
Nice.
So you're nice to see him get one in his career, because not everybody gets that luxury of it. Looked very controlled throughout the race. Really didn't look to be anything hitting the wall. So it's tough. It's a whole different style of race of racing by yourself than of racing with bodies. And he ended up winning a time of 17:39. Tanner Callis was eighth. He was at 18:54. Then we had Luke Stock at 20:22. Matthew Botham was in 20th, right behind him at 20:20. And then Lanny Keeman was right behind him in 21st place at 20:37. Then Brody Nelson was in 45th at 22:37. And then we had Peter Hale was in 68th, and he was at 31:24. Scoring-wise, Monty won it with 43, Camby was second 49, then we were third with 69, and Nakey was 75. So, still good performance, Joe Gibb. We just got to work on things. You know, we got to fight through some tough stuff, and not every day is going to be easy. And I thought the kids really handled this. We're not making as big a steps as we'd like to have, but we're still making steps in the right direction.
Good. Yeah, it's tough when it's 80 degrees all the time to run in that, isn't it, John?
Yeah, it is. It's been tough on the kids. We haven't seen this much, in a long time. So it can devastate some kids, and, we've had some kids handle it well, and some haven't. That's just the way it is.
Yep. September was the warmest on record, I guess they said.
So. I would agree with that. I would definitely agree
and
with
the
that.
Driest.
Yeah, and the driest is true. That's very, very true.
But we know how fast that can change, though, in October, right?
Yeah, it can change. Mother Nature, she taunts you. She plays with you for a while. She'll come back and sneak up behind you when you don't realize it's coming.
All right. Tell us what's happening today up in Grand Forks.
Grand Forks, the track took over for the mega meet in Malacca. They decided to put one together for the 3 years of doing it. So they're going to run 7th-grade races, 8th-grade races, 9th-grade races, and then they'll run into varsity, JV, or in mixed divisions. So, we'll go up there and we get a lot. Nice thing is they go up there, you finish the race. See, in Malacca, you started one race, 15 minutes later, another race started. This one, they finish everybody. So it's actually a park on the east side of Grand Forks right next to the river. So it's a really fast course. It can be well-protected, shaded well, so if it does get hot, you do have a lot of shade, which is nice for the kids to run on that way. And, so it'll be a great performance, find out where we're at. And we'll see a lot of teams that are very, very good. And just kind of stick our nose in and see what we can do. If we can, without getting a broken nose, we can put ourselves into a little bit of a taste of what the next level needs to be.
All right. Well, good, John. Thank you for the report this morning. Good luck in Grand Forks today.
Perfect. Sounds good. Thank you.
Yeah. John Sheriff, head coach of the Dawson Boyd Lockerbie Valley Cross Country Team. We'll take a break. Come back with more of the Coach's Show right after these words from our fine sponsors.
Dove Ag Service of Madison brings you this farm safety tip. Always have a helper nearby when entering grain bins, breeding pens, or other high-risk areas. Discuss safety concerns with children as you explain safe handling and operating procedures. Practice what you preach, and they will practice it too. This farm safety tip comes from Dove Ag Service in Madison. Watch Prairie Sportsman airing Sunday nights at 7:30 on Pioneer Public Television. Join host Brett Amundson and adventure into the world of outdoor sports and the science of natural resource restoration. Top it off with a toast to local artists, cooks, and brewers. That's Prairie Sportsman, Sunday nights, 7:30 on Pioneer PBS.
At Heartland Motor Company, we take you beyond the Chevrolet brand to a hometown sales experience. With industry-wide knowledge, stress-free sales, and our lifetime warranty, the Heartland Advantage, we make it our goal to take care of you on day one or for years to come. But we don't stop there. We take care of our hometown by generously donating to many local groups and organizations. When you choose us, it's not just a Chevy. You get a Heartland Chevrolet. Learn more at heartlandmotor.com.
Together, let's drive at Heartland Motor Company in Morris.
It's one of the biggest volleyball matches in the state of Minnesota. Tuesday night, I'll be in Minneota as the Minneota Vikings host the Canby Lancers. Both teams state-ranked in Class A. First serve, 7:15. That's Minneota and Canby in volleyball Tuesday night right here on Q92. Tune in. Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Let's turn our attention to Lacapral Valley Volleyball with head coach Brooklyn.
Good morning.
You're on your way to a tournament?
Yep, C-Squad tournament in Minneota.
Oh, nice. A number of teams there today, I bet, huh?
Yeah, there is.
Okay.
Should be good for our girls.
Yeah, right. All right, tell us about how the Eagle Volleyball team did this week.
Yep, so we went to Canby on Tuesday, and we lost in three sets. Throughout the three sets, we scored 14, 10, and 19. I think the first couple sets, it was just some forced errors that we had. But the third set, we were leading some parts of the game, and we actually forced Canby to take a timeout towards the end of the set. So I thought we did a lot better the third set, you know, going into teams like that. You know, they're good, and just trying to clean up some of our forced errors, too. So, stat-wise, Peyton Sachs had one ace, Maya Swatsky had two, Brandy Meyer had one, and Samara Seppinen had two ace serves. Hitting-wise, Brandy Meyer had seven, Jalen Lee had eight, Abby Omlin had three. Blocks, Maya Swatsky and Brandy Meyer each had one, Jalen Lee had two. Assist-wise, Maya Swatsky had 13, Jalen Lee, Callie Kahn both had one. And Samara Seppinen had three. Diggs, Peyton Sachs had two. Maya Swatsky, Brandy Meyer, Jalen Lee each had 10. Abby Omlin had one. Mikey Ann Elias had 13. Callie Kahn had one. And Samara Seppinen had five. And we ended up giving Mikey Ann player of the game. She did a stellar job in the back row. Her serve receive was amazing. Her serve receive was a 2.2, so that's really good. And then she was also digging up balls and being super scrappy in the back row for us, so I thought she did a great job.
Yeah, she did a great job. That was awesome. She played very well.
Yeah, she did.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for naming me fan of the game, too. I appreciate that. That's kind of a little neat thing you're doing each match.
Yeah, that we usually do a player of the game and fan of the game each game, and then the fan of the game gets, like, a medal, a snack, and a shirt. And we had a bunch of people that sponsored these shirts so we can use them for the next couple of years. So it's something fun, you know, we get the crowd going, and, you know, it seems like the boys are always competing with each other to get that fan of the game. So it forces them to cheer and be loud.
There you go. Great idea, Brooklyn.
Yeah. So. And then on Thursday we had our homecoming match against YME. And 7th through varsity all ended up winning at home. So it was a really good homecoming match for all five squads. Varsity, we won in four. The scores were 25-18, 22-25, 25-18, and 25-15. The second set, we made a lot of hitting errors, and I don't think we were fully into that set, but we were able to bounce back and come back and win the last two. Acers, Peyton Sachs had one, Brandy Meyer had four, Jalen Lee, Mikey Ann Elias, and Gabby Elias each had one ace serve. Kill-wise, Brandy Meyer had 15, Jalen Lee had 22, Abby Omlin had 6. Mikey Ann Elias had 2. And they both were free ball kills. So she was very excited about that because she doesn't get much action kill-wise. Callie Kahn had 4. Blocks, Maya Slotsky had 1. Jalen Lee had 1. Callie Kahn had 2. Assist-wise, Maya Slotsky had 41. Dig-wise, Peyton Sachs had 2. Maya Slotsky had 7. Brandy Meyer had 6. Jalen Lee had 10. Abby Teen. Mikey Ann Elias had 17. And Gabby Elias had 1. You know, and I think Jalen Lee did a great job in the front row. She racked up 22 kills. And Maya Slotsky, she continues just to keep being consistent as a setter for us with 41 assists. So our front row did very, very good, I think, against Wyoming. Our back row, you know, they have a couple really good hitters against Wyoming. And, you know, they kind of were picking at some of our weaknesses. But by the third and fourth set, we were able to pick up some of those balls. So that was reassuring. And then we got Gabby Elias in the game, and the crowd was excited for her. She had an ace serve and a couple really good digs for us in the back row as well.
Good. Good always to win during homecoming week, right?
Yes, and it's awesome that all 5 squads ended up winning, too.
Good. Yeah, B squad, Z squad did good this week then, too?
Yeah, so against Canby, I can't really remember how C&B did, but I know that we all 3 squads, you know, we had a couple punishments the next day because we just were super quiet, like lack of communication. So I think the girls really showed up communication-wise on Thursday. Overall, it was a good week.
All right, really good. What's up next for the volleyball team?
Next week, C3 Varsity goes to Ortonville on Tuesday. Only Varsity is going to the Jimmy Johns tournament on Friday and Saturday next week. So.
Oh, okay. Where's that at, the Jimmy Johns tournament?
It's in Marshall.
Okay.
So I think we play like RTR, CMPS, and I can't remember the other team that's in our pool.
Ooh,
so
okay.
There'll be some tough teams, but that's good for us when we're about to go into sections.
Yeah, so. I believe RTR is currently ranked number 1 in Class A, so.
Yeah.
That's
a
good test for you.
It is.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Brooklyn, for the report on the volleyball team this morning. And, best of luck to the C squad. Where are you at in C squad again?
Mineota.
Today. Okay. Good. Who's their coach, Brooklyn?
Tyler Mortensen. She's been coaching with me for the last couple years, and she does a great job, and the players really like her, too. So she does a great job with the C squad girls.
All right. And I believe your B squad coach, Molly Hennon, that's her alma mater, Mineota, right?
Yes.
All right. Thanks, Brooklyn, for your report. And we'll probably have to record before next Saturday since you'll be in Marshall Friday and Saturday. Yeah. So.
Yep, we'll do that.
All right. Thanks a lot. Brooklyn Gould, head coach of the Lockbrow Valley volleyball team. We'll take a break. Come back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
The huge annual multi-ring auction at American Surplus in Montevideo is happening Saturday, September 28th at 9 a.m. This is live on-site with online bidding, and it's being put on by the Mid-American Auction Company. They'll be auctioning off 15-plus demonstrator and slightly used ice castle fish houses of all types, unused concession trailer, park model trailer, storage buildings, and more. That's the huge annual multi-ring auction at American Surplus in Montevideo, live on-site with online bidding, Saturday, September 28th at 9 a.m. For more information, go online to icecastlefh.com. Live online bidding through ProxyBid. See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison showing Friday, September 27th through Monday, September 30th. In Theater 1, it's Beetlejuice 2. That's rated PG. Beetlejuice 2 in Theater Number 1. And held over in Theater 2, Transformers 1, rated PG-13. That's Transformers 1 in Theater 2. Both show once nightly at 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to visit with Coach Dr. Brant Hacker, talk Dawson Boyd Lockbrow Valley girls tennis team, who's really playing well as of late, Dr. Hacker.
Yeah, you know, we were over at YME this past week, and we were able to pick up another win over there. It was 6-1. The gals played really well. And, yeah, we've been, you know, we've... we're running to the end of our season here real fast. So hopefully we'll get our rankings out towards the end of this week where we, you know, section playoffs is next Thursday already.
Yep.
You know, and Tuesday was our last regular season match of the season. So we are done with regular season at this point.
Amazing.
Exactly.
You guys get going early, though, don't you?
Yeah, we start practices our Monday, but we're playing triangles or quads by that first Friday. So 4 days later, you know, we're already into our season.
Yep. And road warriors, too.
Yeah, we've been traveling. We put on the miles this year. We've got the minibus good and used. We are excited about they're doing construction on the courts out there, though.
Oh,
so,
they are now.
Yes, they're
okay.
Digging. They're planning. I was talking to Mr. Stelter out there the other day. Hopefully putting some cement down the week of October 21st.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Good.
So it looks like, it, you know, it's happening.
So it's in a different spot to where the tennis courts are now.
Yes, okay. Correct. Yep, it's going to be a little bit more to the east and to the would be kind of the south almost.
Kind of
really.
In the back?
Yeah, exactly. Back by the softball fields,
oh,
back in that area.
Okay.
So,
nice.
Yes.
How many courts are they putting in, do you know?
Seven new ones. Seven. We are excited. Yeah, exactly. So I'm really pumped. You know, it's too bad we're graduating six seniors this year. So they don't get to use them,
right.
But you know, the next folks will. So it'll be nice to have half at home and half on the road next year versus all on the road the last 2 years.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, how many matches did you have this week?
We played over at Granite. We played YME, beat them 6-1. I'll just go through the lineup quick with the scores.
Yep.
Hannah Oy played one singles for us. She ended up losing to a gal over there, Brianna Nelson, 7-5, 6-0. Hannah played a really nice match, though. She was more aggressive. She was more consistent. She was looking for her angles and her spots and did a really nice job with that. The second set really doesn't reflect how they played. They had some very close games, went to deuce a number of times. But I think Hannah made a nice jump up. I know it's end of season, but it's the right time just before we get into conference and section playoffs. So I'm really looking forward to see what Hannah can do here as we probably get to play some of those folks we've already seen this year.
Oh.
So she might get a little revenge there, hopefully.
Okay.
But, yeah. Kayla Jan played two singles. She ended up winning 6-3, 6-3. Played a really nice game. Aggressive. Was able to keep control of the points most of the time and keep the ball deep in the court. Elsie Wiebe picked up a nice win, 6-3, 6-1 at three singles. Alexis Olsen played a tough match. Lost the first set 6-4, but then picked up the next two sets at 6-2 and 6-2. Alexis is a smart player. She may not always have a ton of pace on the ball, and she likes to slice a lot, mm-hmm. but she's really smart as far as moving that ball to where it needs to go. Gertie Sieg, Sadie Hacker, played one doubles, picked up a win 6-3, 6-3. Played solid tennis, did a nice job controlling their game and not overhitting. And really cleaned up their net game where they kept it away from that net person the whole match, really.
Yeah.
Val Piatr, Maya Virgie played two doubles for us, and they picked up a three-set win. Again, lost the first set 6-2, just giving up way too many balls to that net player on the opposite side. And Granite was taking care of business, so good for them. But they did a great job, played a tough second set, ended up winning it 7-6 in a tiebreaker, and then took care of business 6-2 in that second or the third set, really just playing smart doubles, you know. So much of doubles is if you can keep that ball away from that net person, you're going to do okay.
Mm-hmm.
So they did a great job there. And Brianna Borsted, Reese Kuzman played three doubles for us, 1-6, 0-6, 4. And we had four exhibition players, Cameron Olson, Greta Hacker, Ken McTye, and Aiden Bond came over and played. And they all picked up wins as well. And some of them played singles, some doubles. They did a really good job. And we've got, you know, those are our eighth and ninth graders for the most part. So we've got some nice young folks coming up who are playing well.
Good.
Yeah.
And I believe it was senior night over there? Or
it was senior
seniors?
Night, yeah.
Talk about your seniors there for a minute.
Yeah, we have six gals who've been really committed to putting the time in on the court. You know, and just like any sport, if you want to be successful, you have to put some time in and work hard. And these gals have definitely been doing that. And just to name them off, the Lacaparl gals, Hannah Oy, Kayla Jan, Sadie Hacker, and Val Piatr. And we have Elsie Wiebe from Dawson as a senior. And these six gals have been playing really well. They've also just demonstrate really good leadership on the team. Sportsmanship, attitudes, effort are excellent. So it's, you know, we're going to miss them a ton next year. We're going to have a lot of big spots to fill, both from a skill and you know, competitive standpoint, as well as from that leadership standpoint.
Well, they've played a lot of varsity experience over the years, haven't they?
Exactly. I mean, you got six players playing for, that's 36 years of combined experience we're losing right there in one shot. That's so awesome. That's tough. Yeah, exactly.
And that's good to, you know, why, I mean, you're on the road all the time because you can't play at home, but they, you know, recognize, take some time to recognize your seniors.
Yeah, Jeff Lallum is the coach over there. He does a really good job. He's a great guy. I had contacted him earlier, and he said, hey, no problem. You know, we'll give you a whole court. You do whatever you want to do. Take your time. He was awesome about it. So, yeah, so it was nice to be able to do that. You know, last year we only had one graduating senior. This year with six, it's just nice to be able to take the time for that. And then today we're up at a conference tournament up in Alexandria all day.
Nice facilities up there.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, they've got great facilities. They've got 12 courts at the high school and four more over at the middle school. So we've got 16 courts we use.
Oh, wow.
And there's not another community in the conference that has that sort of access. So, no, it's awesome. We head up there. We get in their flights. So, you know, one singles, like Hannah, will line up against all the other one singles players. And that's how they play it out. So it's not really a team event. It's an individual event against the other people who've been playing your position for the season.
Okay.
So Kayla Jan will play against all the other two singles players, and everybody gets in a bracket, and you play it out.
Awesome. I'm not even sure who's put you on a spot here, but all the conference teams, you play in the West Central Conference, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct, and I've got my little cheat sheet right here because I need that, too, to make sure I don't miss anybody.
Who are the conference teams that will be in Alec today, then?
Yeah, good question. So we're up there with Benson and McCray, Montevideo, Morris, and then we've got Melrose and Sauk Center up a little bit farther north, and then Minnewaska. So those are and including us, that's nine conference teams that we have. And the nice thing up there is we play a winner's bracket and a consolation bracket. So even if you lose that first one, almost all the gals are going to get at least a second match, maybe more. So it's a good day of tennis.
So it's just that, you know, these are the conference champs. I mean, you don't move on or anything.
Correct. You're exactly right, Paul. You end up at, you know, if you win your bracket, you're the conference champ or second place. And then you can earn some conference points there for all conference at the end of the season.
Okay.
So there's some, you know, some folks do well in there and end up being all conference where they might not have before.
All right. Then after conference, you start section play, I'm guessing.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So next Thursday is section play, and I don't have the seeds quite yet, but you travel to the higher seed. So it doesn't matter this year if we're higher or lower seed. We're going to be traveling somewhere since we don't have courts.
This is team first and the individuals later.
Yes, excellent point. Yeah, so this is exactly right. This is team first. So we go over, we'll be somewhere playing on Thursday, not sure where yet, but that will be team. And at that time, it's win or go home. So if we win, we would play the following Monday. If we lose on Thursday, we're done as a team already.
Okay.
And then a week later, the next Thursday is the first day of individuals.
All right. So, a lot of stuff happening.
It's a lot of stuff. We're wrapping things up fast. It's all coming to an end way too quickly here.
Okay. Anything else we want to talk about?
Just a shout out to Austin Ireland, man. He's doing a great job with our JV team. He's a great coach. Energy, just enthusiasm.
How are they doing this year? Pretty good?
They're doing well. They hosted YME, and they picked up wins across the board on Tuesday, so they did a nice job there. I'll just briefly mention, if you don't mind, just
I went by. I think you were having practice there in Austin, and you had a lot of good numbers out there.
Yeah, we've got 24 this year, and we picked up some great players. For instance, Aiden Bond, Marin Lund, and Riley Clark came over as ninth graders, and we're really happy to have them. They're very athletic. They're good players. And then we have some newer players, too. Mari Falnes, Esther Peterson, and Nora Prestold, and Addison Moen are all seventh graders. So we picked up seven new folks this year, which we're pumped. Hopefully we'll all get them back next year.
Right.
Micaiah Kubel, who is a new gal, moved over to Dawson just this year, came out as well. So we've got a lot of new JV players. Kaylin Bendel, Greta Hacker, you know, Macy Moen's played a little bit of JV. I want to make sure I don't leave anybody out here.
Yep.
Yeah, but that's, you know, and Vanessa Piotr have been playing our JV matches. So got some new ones, got some returning ones. Hopefully we can keep building on that.
Awesome. Keeps it all in order.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
He's awesome, man. I know he's got some sort of tennis Olympics planned for their end of season. So who knows? He's always thinking up something.
Awesome. Good. Well, thanks for coming in, and good luck in Alexandria today.
Hey, thank you very much, Paul. Really appreciate the time.
Yep. That's head coach Dr. Brant Hacker of the Dawson Boyd Lockbaugh Valley Girls Tennis Team. Take a break. Come back with more of the Coach's Show right after this.
This farm safety message brought to you by the Canby Co-op Credit Union. In Quonset, safety trend is happening in rural America with an increase in motor vehicle versus farm equipment incidents on our rural roadways. Only 19% of the U.S. population live in rural areas, but there are significantly more crashes in rural areas than urban areas. Fatal crashes in rural areas accounted for 55% of all traffic fatalities. Farmers can help avoid collisions by making sure that they have up-to-date lighting and clearly visible slow-moving vehicle emblems and retro-reflective markings outline the motorized farm equipment or implements. Farmers should also consider using flashing lights on equipment and moving equipment during daylight hours when possible. Many crashes between farm equipment and passenger vehicles occur at dusk during spring planting and fall harvest season and often involve the farm equipment being rear-ended or sideswiped by a motor vehicle. This farm safety message brought to you by the Canby Co-op Credit Union, located in Canby, where each account is insured up to $250,000 by the NCUA.
Welcome back to the Coach's Show. We're going to close it off with three kind of sick jokes. I'm reading a book about anti-gravity. I just can't put it down. And number two, why were the Native Americans here first? Because they had reservations. And finally, I didn't like my mustache at first, but then it grew on me. So thanks for listening. Tune in again next week, and just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
It's 9:56. Great music for Montevideo, Benson, and Morris on Q92 KLQP FM.